All right. I want to say something this morning before we get started. I hold in my hand a blessed book called the Bible, right? This is not a weapon to club you over the head. This is a great love story inviting you to an epic story with your Lord and Savior. Jesse just beautifully sang words over us, and I want us just to stop before we just rush into God's Word. I want us to just think about something for a moment. If you will, just kind of a moment of silence. I know that's tough out here, a lot of folks. I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second. This is Holy Spirit-led. This is not something I planned. I just want to take you to a place where you just stop and you think about some words that Jesse felt led to say to you this morning. No matter how far we run, no matter how bad we mess things up, that he still pursues us. In fact, I got a whole book here of stories of pursuit. In fact, if there's ever places that you read the Bible and it brings you to a place of conviction, that's not out of shame. It's not to bring fear. It's to walk you into a relationship with him, to draw you closer of Jesus saying, I've got a better way, my son, my daughter. So I want us just to stop and think about that and let the words of the psalmist in Psalm 139, whether I go to the heights or the depths, the east or the west, the dark, it's all but light to you. You are ever pursuing me. He says, where could I go to escape your presence? Where could I flee from your spirit? Doesn't matter what last night looked like, what this morning looked like, what sin that life has you wrapped up in, circumstances, situations, he is ever pursuing, ever chasing us. And not as a mad God, not as a God looking to bash us over the head with something or bring judgment, but saying again, my son or daughter, I have such a better way for your life. Let's thank him for that this morning as we get into the word. Lord, we thank you for being a God that pursues us lovingly and draws us into relationship. Even the correction, even the conviction is to draw us into a deeper place of intimacy with you. You long for relationship. That is why you created us from the very beginning in the garden. Your hands were dirty as you knelt down in the dust and made Adam and then formed Eve. God, you did so with purpose, and that was to bring us into your story. You didn't have to do that. You chose to do it, even in in spite of knowing that we would mess things up, we would miss the mark, we would sin. Father, you still brought us in and made a way, even from the beginning. There wasn't some panicked meeting in heaven about they've sinned, now what do we do? Redemption was always the plan. We thank you for that. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for making a way. We ask forgiveness for when we're stubborn or that, when we try to live life on our own, as if we could live life better than the way the Creator has planned for us. Help us, Father. We need you. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for what you're doing out here. Thank you for family that we can walk through the trials of life together. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Man, I'm excited about today. Today is Palm Sunday. If you didn't know that, didn't keep up with it on your calendar, next week is Easter Sunday. And so we'll celebrate that together. I want to encourage you to do this. Invite some friends to come with you next week. But as I said, today is Palm Sunday. That's what we recognize as today. Next week, we celebrate Easter Sunday. And so what the Bible tells us is that a lot can happen in a week's time. All right. We've had that in our own life, right? Good experiences, bad experiences. We've had a lot of life changes in a week. In a week's time, you can get notice of a bad health report or a loved one passing or good news of an expected pregnancy in your family and the joy that that brings. We can experience a lot in a week's time. And today's scripture takes us to a time that really in a week's time, the same crowd welcomes Jesus into the city with a chant of Hosanna, a praise like hallelujah, saying the word hallelujah, this praise, and not only that, but this term that really means about salvation, this coronation of a Messiah, this one of saying, this is the one that's coming that's going to change everything. And Jesus does change everything, right, Jesse? He changes everything, but this crowd, the same crowd acknowledging and saying Messiah is this tone of save us, and not only a save us chant, but a chant of save us now. In other words, we recognize that salvation lies in you alone. Save us now. And a week later, this same crowd that says Hosanna says crucify. A lot can happen in a week. A lot can change in a week's time. And so this cry of crucify less than a week later. But today, see, rather than just a history lesson, I want us to look at the why of why this happened. Why in 1 week's time did the same crowd that chanted, Hosanna, save us now, you're the Messiah, you're the one we've been waiting for, all of these great things, and this same crowd a week later says, crucify to this same person, Jesus. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 21. If you have a Bible, want to turn there, look on your phone, look with a neighbor, or just listen. Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 1. And again, as I read this, I want to take a look into today, not just a history lesson of what happened, but I want us to ask the question, why could the same crowd chant, save us now, and then just a week later chant, crucify? Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 1. It says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Zechariah 9:9, and also the rolling stones, beast of burden. I don't think that's what he was talking about. I want you to think about just that moment right there, though. I want you to think about, if you could write the script of all things, if you were God, if you were in charge, would you have your one and only son, the one who had lived a perfect life, would you have him riding in on a donkey for a crowd that would say, save us now, knowing that a week later they would say, crucify? That's not how I would have drawn it up. In fact, Jesus' birth itself, he wouldn't have been born in a manger. He would have been born in a palace with all the nice things and all the trappings of life. And he would have been coming in on a white stallion, right? A nice horse with purple and linen and all these things that promote majesty and all these things that we would look at with splendor. But this is not how Jesus came. In fact, if you want to know the truth, that Jesus himself flips the script on everything we think about with God. In fact, Jesse and I were talking earlier about a situation where someone said, if you'll just give your heart and life to Jesus, all your problems will be taken care of. I want you to know that's not the truth this morning. In fact, Jesus said, if you follow me, understand that the world hated me. And if they hated me, they'll hate you. In this world, you will have trouble. But what did he say? Take heart, because I have overcome the world, right? That with that, we can face any of those problems. Problems will come, but there is a solution. Even if we don't see it in this life, there is an answer to the problem, and that answer is Jesus Christ. And so I would have him coming in on the white horse and looking all regal and all these things, but he comes in on a beast of burden. This was always planned. He had a humble birth, a humble life, and a humble death. Verse 6 says, the disciples went and did just as Jesus directed him. They brought the donkey and the colt, put him on their cloaks, and he sat on them. By the way, I just want to offer a little tidbit here this morning. Some of you may say, man, I don't have much to give God. I can't do anything for God. Here a couple of people were used, but just by going and doing what Jesus asked, go and fetch a donkey and bring it back. They said, we'll do that. You said to do it, we'll go do it. Some of your jobs may be in this moment to look for the small moments like that of just listening to the voice of God. When he says, go and do, that you go and do. That is the best that this life has to offer. That is better than any palace or any purple robe, my friend, to follow his way and his life that he has for us. So it continues on, and it says in verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd, listen to this, that same crowd that's going to chant Hosanna, the same crowd that, if you'll keep in mind, in a week's time, less than a week's time, is going to be chanting, crucify him, crucify him. So most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him, that followed him, were shouting. Listen to this, they were shouting. This wasn't a Jesus passing by a moment and saying, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. This wasn't an embarrassed moment. This was a moment of coronation. This was Jesus riding in on this donkey and knowing that this is the Savior. This is the one who's been promised. This is the Messiah. This was a shouting moment of Hosanna! Hosanna, save me! Save me now! You're the one. And so we see this in Scripture. You see it playing out. Not only do they do this, but they hearken back to the Old Testament of Psalm 118 when they say, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They are saying everything in Scripture has pointed to this moment. This is the one we've been waiting on. This is the Messiah. This is the one who's going to save me. This is the one who's going to change everything. In fact, this is the one I've been praying for. In fact, I could just see it in the crowd that day that maybe many like us were sitting there in some kind of affliction, some kind of sin, some kind of situation, some kind of circumstance, some kind of health problem, saying, Jesus, if you would just save me from that, everything would be fine. God, if you would just take this addiction from me, everything would be fine. God, if you would just give me a home, everything would be fine. God, if you would just give me a wife or a husband, everything would be fine. If you would just do this, fill in the blank, everything would be fixed. Save me now. Hosanna, I want that. I'm claiming it. Would you just help me? Would you help life's afflictions, life moments of terror? Would you save me from that? I want you to picture that. Man, it doesn't take much to picture. If we think about it, maybe we're praying that same prayer. And in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. But I want you to picture the mindset. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city, listen to this, was stirred up. In other words, what happened in the streets that day, this means that other people were going to others who weren't there and said, man, you missed it. You remember back in the Old Testament, this book, the Psalms, and when we read from the scrolls and it said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I saw that. He came and he was riding on a donkey, just like the Bible said in Zechariah, just like the prophet said. I saw him coming into the city. Man, it was crazy. And then people were laying down their cloaks. They were laying down their jackets because they didn't want the donkey. It was a holy moment. They didn't want him walking on the dust. So we laid our cloaks down. And then we ran out of cloaks. So we started going to branches and we started cutting them off and laying down. It was holy. Hosanna. He's going to save us. He's going to make everything right. He's going to make everything great. He's going to save us from all our problems. All of these Romans that have taken over in our city, he's going to overthrow them. It's going to be magical. The day has come. The Messiah, we've been waiting on it. He's going to save us from everything. It says the whole city was stirred up. Who is this? In other words, people that didn't even believe, people that weren't there were asking, I've got to understand who this is. Can I just offer a side prayer? May God do something so amazing, and he is, by the way, out here, that people drive by or they walk by and say, who is causing all that? I want to give you a first shout out right here. It is not me. It is not the people that serve you. It is not Jesse, as great as he plays. Jesus is making this possible. He gets all the glory. So if anyone asks you this week, who is making this possible? What are you gathered about? Is it just food? I want you to tell them this. Jesus. Just leave it at that. We'll let him do the rest. We let him draw through his Holy Spirit. And so in this, they asked the question, who is this? And the crowd said the same thing I just told you. This is the prophet Jesus of Nazareth of Galilee. And so I look at this situation. I see this crowning moment, this coronation of them shouting the Messiah, basically shouting out, praise God, his Messiah has come. We are saved. Now, how can this same crowd be worked up into such a frenzy? And then the next week they have him and a murderer to choose from, Barabbas, and they say, save Barabbas. Give us Jesus. Crucify him. The very one that they said, he's the one. He's going to save me. He's going to save us from all things. How could they be worked up into such a frenzy? And then no sooner than the chants lose their echo, our Savior will hear the ringing in his ear of crucify, crucify. You see, Jesus rides in this day knowing that this is a whole different coronation. He knows what the people are thinking, right? He's Jesus and he has that ability. And as he's riding in, he knows this is his last ride into the city. This is a humble ride. This is a ride where he's saying, I am riding in here. Yes, I am going to save you. I'm going to give everything I have. This will be my last ride. I'm riding in to give everything for you. And man, I'm so glad it didn't just stop with the people of Matthew 21. I'm so glad that that ride in was for me and it was for you. And that no matter where life finds you today, that ride in, he had you in his mind. here's where I want to make this personal. I want to ask you a question this morning. Anybody here this morning need deliverance from something? Is it sin? Situation, sickness, circumstance, affliction, bad decisions? And we would say, God, if you would just save me, if you would just take this away, everything would be made right. Hosanna. Jesus, would you just save me from this and save me from that right now? And while that prayer might not be all that bad, it's great to pray and ask God to remove things from us. But just like these people here, we are under rule. There is an enemy that rules this world. And in their life, it was Rome. They had taken over. They had them under great oppression. And the Israelites were praying, if you would just send someone, God, if you would send the Messiah, he's going to be a military giant and he will rule with an iron scepter and he will take down everyone and everything will be made right. You see, they looked at that and even said, man, the things that are going on in my daily life will be taken care of if we could just get back control of this place. You see, I believe what happened that day is that there were people that were laying down their coats and cutting branches, and all they wanted was deliverance. That's all they wanted. They weren't in search of a savior. They were in search of salvation from whatever their blank was. This is going to be the guy that sets things right. Man, some of us have been dealt some bad hands. And we would say in the same voice, Hosanna, save me now from that. You see, these people were looking for an overthrow. They were looking for Jesus to come with an iron scepter and iron fist. But the only problem was he came into town with a basin and a towel to wash feet. He didn't come to take people over by storm. He didn't come to trample on the Roman rule and say, I'm going to make everything right in your personal life. He came to be the guy that said, if you follow my way, it's going to bring you trouble in this world, because this world isn't designed for that anymore. We messed that up. This isn't Eden. A day's coming where that will be. A day's coming where all things will be made new. But until then, you understand we live in a world at war. There's sin. There's things that happen. And by the way, I want you to know your hand that has been dealt to you has no bearing on the fact of whether God loves you. He loves you no matter what. And so Jesus came with a basin and a towel. And I ask you this question this morning. When you pray those prayers, Lord, save me, are you praying just for the idea of if he'll just fix everything, then it can get it right? Or are you praying that prayer in need desperately of a Savior to have relationship with? You see, there's a difference. Are we praying? Are we just following him that he'll take care of everything and set things right? My friend, I want you to listen to me with a heart of love this morning. I've been there. You've been there. If that's the case, then merely all we're doing are laying cloaks on the road and palm branches down and saying, if you'll just fix everything, then I'll follow you. Because it changed real quick. When they didn't get their way, when they didn't get saved how they wanted to get saved, they said, crucify. Here's what God is asking us to do on a Palm Sunday and any Sunday to follow. And the good news is Easter's coming, right? We know what happens after this, but Easter is coming. Resurrection is coming. The sacrifice that's made and all these things. But what he's asking us to do in this is inviting us into a story to have relationship with him. And that's far beyond filling out, Lord, save me from my addiction. Save me from my sin. Can I just be completely honest with you? Some of you might carry addiction with you to the grave. I'd love to speak over that, and I'd love for it to be gone. And it could be. God could break you from that and everything. But you could be in relationship and still carry addiction with you. It may be God teaching you something through that to depend on him. And those times when you feel compelled to reach for something else other than him, that he's saying, would you just trust me? Would you just draw near to me? It's not about the actual sin. It's not about the actual affliction or the sickness or the problem or the circumstance. He is drawing us into relationship with him. He wants more than the cloaks on the road or the palm branches we could lay down. He wants us to say, Hosanna, and just save me. Don't add any stipulation. Don't add, if you would save me from this. It's like me as a kid. Can I just be honest with you and tell you this? I would pray prayers as stupid as this. I would say, Lord, if I eat all these vegetables, it's on my plate. My mom's making me. If I would eat all these vegetables, would you just do this? God, when I turn 16, if you would just give me that cherry red Lamborghini, I'll do anything, right? God, if you would just give me this, you know, girl that I was dating, and praise God, some of those didn't work out, right? You've been there. The great theologian Garth Brooks once said that about unanswered prayers. They're always answered, but they're not answered the way we want to sometimes. And it's great, right? It's great that they didn't work out that way. And so in all these things, what he's telling us is he's drawing us into relationship and saying, would you just come with no stipulation? Would you come to me and just say, Hosanna? In other words, just say, hey, you're the Messiah. You're the Savior. Wherever you take me, whatever you take me through, that's better than the way I could make for myself. Would you do that today? Man, what a wonderful day that would be. What if your cloak and what if your palm branch to lay down is to say, I've tried my way. And I'm not going to be in a week later where I take them back up and I say, crucify. I'm going to lay them down and I'm going to say, Jesus, whatever way you choose to do that. It just stands to reason that if he was arming himself with a basin and a towel to wash feet, that's the lifestyle he wants us to live. Right? To go and to serve and to love our fellow man and to point them into relationship and tell them that there is a better way. And it's not full of rules and regulations, it's full of relationship. And when the relationship comes, that's when behavior changes, right? That's when the things happen. See, we get it backwards. We try to clean up first. I'm just going to do this, this, and this. And if I do all that, then everything will be taken care of. And man, that's so backwards. Come to him. And just let him save you the way he wants to. He'll offer that for eternity. He also offers salvation in the day-to-day, a life and a life more abundantly, as John tells us. I'm just going to pray that over you this morning. In fact, I'm going to do this before we pray. I'm going to ask Pastor Lynn Huey. She's here this morning. Would you close us in prayer? And Jesse's going to play over us. Thank you for being here this morning. Guys, I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes before Pastor Lynn prays for us. I just want you to think about this. Where is it that I need salvation from? And am I okay if Jesus just comes into my life and he gets to write all of that? I don't have any say. There's no stipulations. I just say, I give my life and my heart to you. Would you do that today? If you do that today for the first time, if you come to relationship in him, I want you to come see one of us. Let us know that, man. We want to rejoice with you and pray over you. If it's something that you're walking in that you're just struggling with, you just need somebody to pray with you, come seek somebody out. Just say, man, pray with me. We'll pray over you and fellowship in that together, okay? Pastor Lynn's going to pray, and then Jesse's going to close us out with a song.
Praise the Lord, everybody. What a powerful word. Amen. What an on-time word. Amen. Glory to God. What a glorious word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. And as he said, we just say, Lord, save me, however you want to. My worst day with Jesus, my best day out here is my worst day. But my worst day with the Lord is my best day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today, Lord. We thank you for all those that are sitting on your word today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that your word will not return into you void, but it will do what you would have it to do, and it will prosper in the thing to which you sent it. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that today you're working on hearts, Lord. You're working on minds, Lord, that if any came in, bowed down today, that they will leave lifted up, because your word has power. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that you're speaking to hearts today, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that you're calling people into the beloved today, Lord. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that every person under the sound of my voice, under the sound of the pastor's voice, Lord God, hallelujah, that they would desire to change their lives for the better. Amen. And we realize that only Jesus can do it. Only Jesus. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So I thank you today, Lord God, hallelujah, for salvation. Amen. For the house today, in the name of Jesus. We call this right now the house of God. We call it the sanctuary, amen. We call it a place, amen. Even though it's out, amen. The church is in you, amen. So we thank you, hallelujah, for people desiring, Lord, to have you in their lives today. For people surrendering their lives to you, Lord. For people saying, I'm sick and tired and of being sick and tired. Lord, I need you today. Let somebody say, Lord, I need you today. Amen. Glory to God. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That as you go forth and you're working on hearts today, Lord God. Hallelujah. That the Holy Spirit is moving by his spirit. Amen. Right now. Glory to God. Calling in men, women, boys, and girls into the beloved. Lord, I thank you and I praise you and I give you the glory today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And everybody that agrees with that prayer, say to the glory of God, amen. Amen.